Ladies and gentlemen, hailing from Long Island, New York, the best wrestling podcast in the world, Joseph Crush, Nikki Noodles, Bad News Canali, and Nick Jersey, the Wrestling Journal Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 45 of the Wrestling Journal Podcast, brought to you by WrestleBuzz, at WrestleBuzz on Instagram, at WrestleBuzz with three Z's on Twitter. It is I, Joseph Crush, along here with the boys, Nick and Noodles. What's going on, pal?
What's up, bro? How are you?
Great, man. Dandy. Love it. Love life.
Sleep deprived?
No. Bad news, Tom Canale. What's going on, man?
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Good morning, sir.
Tommy.
And of course, the professional NJ3. What's up, buddy?
Let me talk to you.
LA Knight. That's good.
LA Knight, baby. Loving him. Loving him.
People, if you don't know already, we're on every aspect of podcast downloading. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Music, whatever, wherever you can get a podcast, download us. Specifically, Apple Podcasts. We say it every week. Give us a nice review, a 5-star rating. Much appreciated. We love you always. I have interesting stories this week. One for you guys that you haven't heard yet, and also wrestling. A lot of stuff going on here. But before we do that, let's hear a word from our sponsor, Paper Champion.
Do you love fantasy sports and professional wrestling? Of course you do. So join Paper Champion. It's free to play, win real prizes, gifts, trophies, and more. Signups for Season 5 are currently underway. Do you have what it takes to be the next Paper Champion? If so, contact us at kayfabecup@gmail.com. Once again, that is kayfabecup@gmail.com. Paper Champion. Fantasy wrestling done right.
All right. Paper Champion. Again. Let's get it. Sign up, people. You know the deal. Every week, you know the deal. Boys, before we get into the big stuff, like I said, I texted you guys yesterday. I have a kind of wild story.
I'm ready. You had me on the edge of my seat. I almost dropped my phone.
It's not anything crazy.
Terrible cliffhanger.
It's not anything super crazy, but it's what you can call a bullet dodger, if you will, wrestling related too. So we're on Twitter, as I say, at WrestleBuzz of 3Zs. I came across a guy who hit me up for he was trying to promote for a wrestling show. It's a Synergy Pro Wrestling in New Jersey. It's an independent company, and he was seeking out people to promote like their brands and stuff. Like I think they had an iPay-per-view going at the time. It was like $250, I want to say, for like a logo in the ring. And then like they announced like the show sponsored by, say it would be WrestleBuzz or the Wrestling Journal Podcast, whatever you want to call it. And, he offered me to get a spot on the show. I was like, you know, at the time it was early on, I was like, you know what? I'm not familiar with the brand. Like I was like, I don't really know much about like the company and like whatever. I was just like, maybe down the road, I just want to check it out first before I throw money into something I don't really know about. He was cool. He passed on. I guess he went elsewhere, whatever. Yesterday I go on Twitter and I see a lot of, negative comments towards this certain company and the promoter of that company. And, I find out not the guy I spoke to, but the promoter of the company just got arrested on, sexual assault charges on little boys.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And
we almost align with this guy. Oh, my God. Good bullet you dodge. Great story.
Now we're going to end the Wrestling Journal Podcast.
Yeah. I'm not going to give the guy's name because I think he went by a different name on for the show, but not his real name in real life. But
so he had an alias.
Yeah. And
yeah, I bet he did. Little boy toucher.
It was charges like the current charges against three boys in the ages like 6 to 10. I was like, ugh.
Oh God,
right?
That's disgusting.
And then another charge against them for a 12-year-old. So I was like, wow. Yeah, Bullet Dodge.
You weren't kidding. Sure. What a story.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was like 2 months ago, I think I got hit up to do that. But
I'll never question your judgment again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So everyone,
whatever you got to do, save us from these bullets.
Yeah. Do your research and maybe just don't jump into something if it sounds like an enticing idea. So that was my story of the week. So, I mean, wow. I thought it was interesting.
That's a proud brother moment on behalf of all of us, Joe. Yeah. Nice job.
Yeah, so
I couldn't be prouder. I'm going to buy you a beer the next time I see you.
Yeah, avoided that one. Our name is still intact. We're not aligned with a pedophile. So I guess it's a good day.
Very good day.
All right, so we got a new WWE champion, Bobby Lashley. Very interesting story here, and we didn't really harp on brought it up last week about the Miz cashing in. We didn't really like talk about it too much, but as suspected, he was a transitional champion. Before we get into Bobby, I just want to kind of like note on the Miz and how professional this guy is. I think it goes without saying, outside of the like just the act on TV, I heard him on Renee Young's podcast. She interviewed him right when he became champion. So it was before he lost the belt. And she had asked him a question, which I thought was pretty interesting. She's like, what if you have the pencil, basically, how are you booking your run here as WWE champion? And he basically said, obviously I would want to headline WrestleMania, yada, yada, yada. But he also said an interesting point of how he wants to make, I don't know the exact like words he used, but basically he wants to make guys that like help guys that deserve shots get them. And what do you know, the next week he puts over Bobby Lashley and makes him, you know what I mean? Like, and just with that being said, and the outpour of appreciation for Bobby Lashley on social media after he won the title, from like everybody from all different companies, all his peers, even the fans, like it was really cool to see how that all worked out, and it shows how big of a professional the Miz is. So I mean, just shout out to Miz, obviously, just for basically like doing a job. Like he really just job like to Lashley, and that's a part of the business. And like I've heard other people talk, even I think I heard Mark Henry say after he was discussing it on Busted Open Radio how like Miz is like the most, he's such a businessman, and he's willing to do anything for like if it's the right move for business. And you hear all these guys complain about how they're not like used right and used properly, and they go to complain to Vince a lot, and they want to be put in certain scenarios where the Miz will do anything for the company because he loves the business. So like you kind of respect that in a way. And then I don't know, I just thought it was pretty cool that the fact that he was able to put Lashley over and still earn a respect, and like he still gets a championship out of it. I don't know, I thought it was pretty cool. But just Lashley becoming champion, I think is a big deal. I think he's like, I want to say the fourth or fifth African-American WWE champion ever. So like, it's still like a big deal in that aspect.
Well, they put up that picture the other day of him, yeah. Kofi and The Rock.
It was him, yeah. Kofi, The Rock. But then like all right, so WWE champion, like champions in WWE, like you have Mark Henry as well, I think. And then there may have been another one. I'm not sure. I forget.
But the list isn't as long as it maybe should be with some of the athletes. Yeah,
I agree. And it shows like Kofi and Lashley, how many years it took for them to become WWE champion too. So like,
those guys definitely paid their dues for sure, man. It's crazy. Yeah,
all right.
And it's not like they were like in the beginning, you couldn't see Mark Henry becoming WWE champion quick. Like his character wasn't ready for it. But like Lashley's type character, Kofi's character could have been WWE champion sooner than double digit years down the road. I know Lashley essentially left the company and came back, but still. But I just want to,
I mean, he was kind of mishandled a little bit. And I mean, I don't mean mishandled in a bad way. Like you had like this opportunity with him, and you can almost kind of compare it to almost like how the Big Show was handled, yeah. Where you have this guy that on paper should be the top guy in the company.
Yeah.
Now, of course he had his shortcomings. Maybe he wasn't the best on the mic. And I know they tried pairing up with Leo Rush, and they did the Lana thing and whatnot. They tried him going face, and it just didn't work out and this stuff, but the stuff that he's done with MVP this last 12 months or whatever the case is, it literally, when I watch Lashley when I hear his music hit, I get excited now. Like when his music was hitting, when he was giving Miz like the countdown, like I got amped. First of all, I love the theme song. That's that that thing is awesome. That pumps me up. Yeah. But I am so on the Lashley bandwagon that I think I want to see him hold the title through WrestleMania.
That was my next question. I was coming up to, but before I get to WrestleMania, I forgot to mention a stat that they give out to the Miz. He's the first ever two-time over, what's the word? Grand Slam champion.
The Miz,
he's the only one ever.
So put him in the Hall of Fame. Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Hall of Fame dad. Hall of Fame husband. Hall of Fame wrestler.
And Hall of Fame reality star.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Real World and Miz and Mrs. Shout
out to Miz. Oh, I love Miz and Mrs. Can't wait for the season to come back.
I mean, you can make the case that Miz is, I mean, he's not on par with Cena, but as far as professionalism of doing what's right for the business, he's right there for his run since he's been in the game.
That's why Vince loves him. He'll have a job forever, no doubt.
As he should.
Imagine he jumps.
Cena's another one. Always. Always, my God.
But he'll never.
He'll never do it.
This is the man.
But yeah, getting into WrestleMania, so now there's options here. We can go hit, like, just get an idea. We're not doing predictions, but obviously, Jersey, you said you want him to run through WrestleMania. But, like, are we getting him versus Drew? Are we getting him versus Lesnar if Lesnar comes back? Like, what's, Jersey, what's feasible for you as a main event or a WWE championship match? What do you want to see at Mania with Lashley?
What could possibly happen? Yeah, no, great question, Joey. I think initially it makes the most sense with him and Drew, right? If you want to legitimize Lashley's title win, you can obviously say, put, you know, him winning from The Miz isn't as legitimate as him going over on another big star. But if you want to legitimize Lashley as a champion and being a dominant heel champion, he has to be Drew McIntyre, who's arguably the top face on Raw. From that point, booking forward, there's a lot of options you can kind of go.
Yeah.
But I think for WrestleMania, in my opinion, I think the match is Drew Lashley, and I think Lashley wins. That is going to be big. And no disrespect to Drew. Drew did his thing, and he can come back again. But I think right now, it's like almost like, you know how Kofi Mania was kind of organically built? I think this Lashley run wasn't what was intended, but it's what we need in the moment.
Yeah, it's almost like I wish there was fans there now so they could see the reaction that he probably would have gotten if he won on Monday, like an actual live crowd. I think it's hard to tell. Like, I mean, you can go on social media and see the reaction, but Kofi Mania was different. It was like, just because in person, you heard the fucking chants, you heard everything, and they kind of ran with it like that. But like, you got to dig a little deeper for Lashley's support. And I'm still on the boat. If they go with Drew and Lashley, that Drew might get it because he never got that Mania win in front of fans. I'm not saying Lashley doesn't deserve it, and I want him. I also want him to run through WrestleMania as well. But I think if they go that route, it's kind of a toss up there where they want to go.
That's good booking though, right? Yeah. Isn't that what we always want? We don't want the predictable. Yeah, so that's why that's a great point, Joey. It's like we want to see Drew win in front of fans, but we also want to see Lashley.
Yeah.
That's the best part about booking when you have two top guys like this, is you're gonna be kind of satisfied with either direction. You're gonna understand why they do what they do, at least for that match.
If booked properly, you have right now, I'm not comparing by any means, but like a Rock Austin type thing where you have these two top guys. That and you can make them bigger than they are right now with Drew and Lashley, and have these guys be your top babyface and top heel of that show, and run with that for the next couple years, and like you're okay with that. Like, it doesn't have to be, Drew can have his moment again somewhere else. It doesn't have to be at Mania, but whoever's drawing more at the time, you run with them and just go with that. But I mean, like, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It's a tough call, just from the simple fact, though, in my personal opinion, is like, you had Lashley just win the title a couple weeks right before Mania is about to start, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you have the opportunity where you could have Lashley be the champion, but then you also can ruin him by being a transitional champion by losing to Drew right away. Like, that's one of the things I can't stand when they do a title change right before Mania. Because, like, was Drew saying, that there's options down the line, but they could really hurt it in the forefront right out the gate. And that's the part that bothers me by doing that move right now. Like, Lashley could have been champion a while ago or should have won it at Mania, in my opinion. Right now, just creates an awkward thing, because now if he beats Drew at Mania, what's his next feud after that?
I think there could be a lot of things. I was actually thinking, it's funny you said that. I was thinking about, like, who could he face? AJ Styles.
I would
Keith
love
Lee. No, like, you know, fair. I can see stuff like that. Kofi Kingston, even. Why not even Kofi? It may not be legitimate, but that could be a good feud. You know what I mean? Kofi wants to get back to the main picture. So I can think of a lot of cool feuds for Lashley, but, you know, just
do you think it's possible that they run a triple threat with Drew and Miz to both get title matches.
Very
and then
possible.
Start
absolutely.
A fresh start right away.
Yeah.
I think
but
that's
if
the
it wasn't for,
probably
yeah, if it wasn't for
go.
Bad Bunny, I would say then your triple threat idea would be a legitimate idea.
Yeah.
The issue is that the Bad Bunny, you know, with Bad Bunny being there, I mean, I think it's going to be him and Priest versus Miz and Morrison.
Yeah,
I know
that's
that
true.
Maybe Miz deserves a little bit better than that, but also Miz, like you, we've been saying, he's a consummate professional. He puts
what about,
the company first.
What about with the little tidbit with Elias this past week with Ryder and Jackson Riker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that could go the
you
Bad
know what?
Bunny
maybe,
way and free up Miz again. So
you know what?
There's
and funny you say
there.
That. It could be them almost planting a seed to see how that kind of sticks. So
yeah.
I didn't think the Riker I didn't think the match with Priest was good on Monday with Priest and Elias. I was very disappointed.
It was a little spotty, yeah, I agree.
But you know what? Two guys didn't work together. Different styles, the chemistry can kind of come. So you could be right. They could be kind of building towards that. So great point, though. Really good point.
I mean, the match between Lashley and McIntyre is incredible. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, I just don't see Lashley losing right away. And then I think if you make Lashley lose to McIntyre, it's like you really crushed all Lashley's capable of doing right out the gate.
Sure.
That would suck.
That can make sense for the triple threat then. If he, if they go into it where it's like Drew, him, and Miz, or Drew, him.
I don't think any of us here want to see McIntyre or Lashley get hurt by something like this right out the gate.
Absolutely. And that's,
you know, they deserve better than that.
But that's why they did the whole thing with the cash in. So, like, you could say, would they have a back to back transitional champion for Drew? I don't know.
That's what I mean. I don't know. I mean, I think that would just discredit. I mean, Lashley's doing his best work probably ever.
Yeah.
You can make that argument. Why ruin it in fucking 3 weeks? I think that'd be bullshit.
Speaking of doing best work ever, Sheamus.
Oh, holy man, shit. Forget it.
So he needs a spot at Mania.
So where do you do it? Exactly. So my next question was like, him and Drew have this fucking absolute banger on Raw. Where does this stand? And now could you argue, even though we've seen them go already, but we've seen them go a few times.
It's been twice now they've gone.
Could they carry over this maybe in like some sort of stipulation match at Mania? And then that's where we free up like Lashley to go against maybe if they bring back Brock. Bring back Brock. That's a fucking tongue twister. So then we have, because like, think about it, right? Like Drew and Lashley, great match. Like it's a headliner for sure. But like, it's WrestleMania, boys, and there's gonna be fans there. Like they need some sort of fucking heavy spark. I know we got Edge and Roman. Remember, it's two nights. Like it's two nights.
You read it, MF.
I was saying you're just a little MF, right?
I was gonna.
Oh my god!
Really let it rip.
I'm like, damn, you're hot right now. It's two nights, motherfucker.
Yeah. So we need some sort of like, and I'm not knocking anyone else, but like Drew. Just say we go Drew, Lashley, Sasha, Bianca, Roman, Edge. I'm still not like feeling it's like good. It's a good feeling, but I'm not feeling like WrestleMania.
Strowman and Shane O'Mac ain't tickling your fancy, Joe.
No, it's
that
not.
Could be fun. That could be fun. A little
fun,
street fight.
Yeah, sure. But like,
I guess we'll see Apollo Biggie. You got to figure that. That'll be a match. Oscar, Charlotte, maybe Rhea might be a match. Like AJ Styles, maybe you get AJ Sheamus, because you know AJ can wrestle tweener, you know.
He's got almost now, so
yeah, he does.
Listen, at the end of the day, if Brock comes back, you know Brock's going for a title. They ain't wasting him on anything else. He's got very few appearances, and they're going to use those wisely.
That's a legitimizing win. Exactly. Yeah. If you have Lashley go over Lesnar, dude, fuck, come on now. Like, that's it.
Yeah, that's Brock ain't doing that.
he put over Drew.
Yeah, but that was at least a building feud. I don't think Lesnar's going to show up for a one-off.
Nick, I'd put you over if they paid me the right amount of money.
Well, Brock is all about the cash, so I guess he'll do whatever's necessary.
So am I.
So, yeah, we have, I guess, questions about what the exact matches are going to be for Mania. But I guess, I mean, we have Fastlane coming up. We'll find out what's going to happen there.
Dean should have a match, right, you would think, I mean, at some point. So that should spark up one of the nights.
Who?
The Fiend, Randy.
I was like, who?
That was my next thing. We had a nice little, it was interesting.
Transition us like a professional.
We had a nice little interesting segment there with Alexa and Randy. It kind of scared me a little bit.
Yeah, it's creepy, man.
If I'm a little kid watching this shit, dude, I'm crapping my pants. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's all a gif to me.
I feel a little different about it, but that's fine.
That's fair. We all have opinions.
Bet you do.
Some of them are shit, but it's okay.
not that type of opinion.
What
not that type of feeling.
What kind of match could Randy? I'm gonna ask Tom this question. He's a big Fiend guy. What type of match can Randy and Fiend have at Mania, assuming they do, that can make this like end? Like, this has to end, right? Eventually. Like, what kind of match? Just a Firefly Funhouse match? Like,
I was gonna say, what did you do last year with him and Cena? I mean, maybe like make it like even crazier, because obviously, you know, Randy, you know, could do a lot more things. Not saying Cena was, you know, over the hill, but obviously he hadn't wrestled in how long before, you know, he had that match with him type of thing. So maybe they could do something like that. I don't know what they could do to top last year's craziness, but I'm sure they could think of something. I mean, because the way that little segment happened on Monday, it looks like, you know, something crazy is going to happen, because, you know, it looks like Randy's like possessed and he doesn't know he's doing that type of thing. So who knows? But it's going to be whatever their plan is, got to be nuts. So I can't wait to see if it ever happens, whenever he's going to come back. So, I mean,
we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
I mean, we're waiting on you, buddy. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, when's Fastlane?
2 weeks. Yeah.
So, does something happen? Do they have a match there and then they carry over? I'm not sure. I mean, there's only 2 weeks till Fastlane, so probably not. It will probably carry over until Mania. But I want to see this guy show back up on my television screen. I miss him. I miss his face. We had the discussion last week, Nick Noodles. So you know how that goes. I don't know.
SmackDown. So what do you think? What do you think they could do, though? Honestly, there's no fan. There's no fans last year, so
that's true.
Now there's fans. You may not be able to go cinematic as you want to, because what are you going to do? Put a match on the big screen for all the fans in attendance?
True. Yeah.
Little different.
Yeah, it is different.
Or maybe do like half a cinematic, then maybe transition to the ring type of thing. Who knows? I mean, they can figure anything out, I would think.
And this is live now. They can't set anyone on fire.
That's just. Yeah.
That's
what I'm saying. You're going to have to actually have like a legitimate match in some sort of way.
They should do a Buried Alive match. Bring that back.
That'd be sick.
No, I'd be for that.
There's no rhyme or reason, but you're trying to kill the opponent. I don't know. They already tried doing that. So I don't doubt they'll bring something visually entertaining. But remember, the last time Randy and Bray fought a Mania.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
With the bug visual in the ring, it's kind of not really that good.
Yeah, I was there. It was strange.
Yeah, how'd that go off in person?
Yeah, had that. Yeah.
It was weird. Very strange.
How was the crowd reaction?
Was weird.
It was very quiet, man. It was like really nothing there. And then Randy Orton won with Bray's transitional fucking championship run. It was weird. I didn't expect Bray to lose at all, and he lost convincingly. It was bad. It was a filler match, put it that way. Filler WWE Championship match at WrestleMania. Never been done before.
I don't know. It's definitely been done before, but I don't know. We might get another one this year. We'll see. Well, hope Bray comes back soon with something entertaining and we get a solid match at Mania. We had SmackDown last night, and we didn't talk about it last week. Apollo Crews turned heel officially. And it's been kind of teetering back and forth for the past few weeks, but he finally did it. And now he comes out with this new gimmick. He's a prince and he has a new accent. I don't know if you guys heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Kofi Kingston reimagined into Apollo Crews. I could have swore I heard Apollo Crews speak perfect English 2 weeks ago. And now
he's been putting his roots down. Now he's embracing his roots. That's why.
So, interesting. He needed some sort of character change for sure. I think what he was doing wasn't getting over as much as they'd expect. Great worker in ring, but he needs something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He needed a change. So like we said,
it's always tough when the character just doesn't mesh with the in-ring talent, man. It just really, it hurts.
Yeah, it does. It hurt Apollo. And now he's the prince. Is it like a certain, like I missed it, like a Nigerian prince?
Nigerian.
Okay, I don't want to say the wrong thing and then get fucking yelled at.
No, you just apologize. I'm not educated enough and you don't understand and you're going to learn.
You know what? I watch wrestling on closed captions now because the baby, and so I can't really get every ass with it.
How is watching that on closed captions?
It's horrible. I don't.
It's slow. Right?
Yeah, it's behind like 3 minutes.
Behind, so
there's no point.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's why I got AirPods. I got to watch them, you know, watching my phone, you know.
There you go, you fancy guy.
Subtle flex.
When did you get a raise that you were able to afford AirPods, huh? Did Olivia put more money in your bank account?
She got me a tax return that was very hefty. So,
girl.
Hey, you that.
Girl. Girl, Dad.
Shout out to Olivia. So, yeah, SmackDown was okay. DB won the cage match against Sheamus, so he's going to Fastlane against Roman Reigns to the Universal Championship. So, okay. I'm not gonna stop there. Nikki Noodles, let's get your opinion on this. Is there any way this could work out to make sense here? Or are we just wasting Daniel Bryan's title shot?
Jersey just discussed it ad nauseum the other day with his disappointment of his biggest fear here. And it's going to be a great match. There's no question about that, but it is going to be a complete waste of Daniel Bryan's potentially final title run, final chance opportunity, put it that way.
I heard this. I forget what podcast I was listening to. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately.
No, because there's a
play Vince McMahon's theme music, and that's how much you know the chance that Daniel Bryan will have a fast lane.
It'll be a great match. He'll put on an unbelievable show as always, but it's a waste of a forced waste of a great marquee matchup.
What are we going to see? Jimmy Uso come back, you think?
He'll get involved, of course.
I was thinking, like, all right, Jimmy Uso comes back during the cage match. Don't even let Daniel get the fucking shot, right? Jimmy Uso comes back during the cage match, fucks that up, lets Jay win, and then it's the Usos versus Daniel Bryan and someone else at Mania in a tag team match, and then Daniel Bryan can go after the belt after Mania, like post Mania.
That's not bad.
That's quality booking, good job.
Yeah.
I mean, what do I know? 30-year fan. I've been watching my whole fucking life.
I like that booking a lot. Well done.
But I don't know if I don't know if Jimmy's capable of.
No, wrestling. I don't think he might not be able to come back. He might still be hurt. But I just love your thought process because you're right. I mean, I don't know. Go ahead. I don't want to take the question.
I'm sorry,
Tommy, bless it home.
But yeah, no, I think that would make sense. I mean, because like you said, it's definitely. It's never going to be wasted. Like you said, no chance he's going to win at Fastlane. I mean,
never know, dude.
But to say, unless they completely swerve us and it's like, whoa, okay, you know.
It's the first appearance on Peacock.
Yeah, so who knows? Yeah, who knows?
Peacock.
Nah, I mean, it would be cool, but I think it's like a 99% chance he loses. So, yeah.
99.9, I think. Unless Roman's majorly hurt, will they have a Daniel Bryan edge at Mania, which would be an awesome matchup too, by the way.
So I was saying before, someone said it on a podcast I was listening to, he was getting a good laugh out of this. Jimmy Uso comes back during the Fastlane match, and then the Usos turn on Roman.
Ooh.
It'd be cool as shit, too.
Costing the title. Daniel, and it's Daniel versus Edge at Mania, and then Roman versus Uso, or a handicap Uso match. You lose me there. Like, you can't have Uso versus Roman at WrestleMania.
You can't have your biggest star in wrestling for the title.
Uso. So,
what, you know how we say, you know, goose is singular and geese is plural. What is plural Uso? Usos.
Usos. Yeah, I think so. Usos. That's the technique.
Usies. Usies.
The Usies.
The Usies.
So,
I mean, listen, it's, I hear that. But it just gets me crazy where, I mean, listen, Daniel Bryan Edge's dream match, but Roman has the title. And I think that with Roman having the title, I don't want to say pigeonholed in a bad way, but you have to go around Roman. All the roads lead to Roman. All the storylines go around Roman.
Exactly. And you can't not have him main event WrestleMania this year.
No, not at this point. No, he deserves every bit of it.
He's doing God's work right now. There's no way he doesn't main event.
No, he's on another level right now.
He's got Sunday night versus Edge. This is plain and simple.
Yeah. So that was the main roster this week. Before we get into Wednesday nights, I have two things I want to talk about regarding Wednesday nights. And Jersey, I'm sorry, I didn't really go over this before
man.
The show.
No, please.
If I take anything away from you,
Roman Reigns, you're the head of our table.
Yeah.
The roads lead to Joey.
So
and that's it.
Two things I wanted to address. Well, one, the NXT, there's a rumor that the NXT possibly will bring in women's tag titles. I thought that was interesting. We had a discussion on this in the group chat. I got Jersey's thought on that. He doesn't like it. Nick and Noodles, you don't really text us back too much in the group chat, so I want to.
I apologize, guys. That's right, no worries. The timing is always suspect with you, Joey.
Yeah, 24 hours.
On the spot. Not one, I like one this. Of the day.
Yeah. What are your thoughts if the NXT got women's tag titles?
I'd be okay with it. I'm not crazy pro. I'm not crazy anti. To be honest, I think it's a great opportunity. I feel every brand should kind of have a slew of their own titles. So, you know, it's a way to build new characters. It's a way to build new tag teams. It's a way to highlight the skills of a lot of different wrestlers. So if they brought it out, especially with the new influx of talent on the horizon, I think it could only help. But if they didn't do it, it really wouldn't bother me either. But I do like your idea of having a traveling champion, which is especially with the impact of NXT's, it's become so big that, you know, they never expected that, I guess. So I'm cool with that too.
Yeah. Tommy, what about you, bud?
I mean, I kind of think it's a good idea because, like Noodle said, you know, you have this new influx of, you know, female wrestlers coming in, you know what I mean? And I doubt they're going to get to the main roster anytime soon, you know, type of thing. So, you know, maybe showcase them down there, win a couple titles, you know, win the titles down there and, you know, maybe they can graduate or whatever, you know, to the next level. You know, I don't know who it would be, obviously, but no, yeah. I think it'd be pretty cool to see that. I mean, I wouldn't mind it, but I could see, like I said, I see Jersey's point with it traveling, you know, champion and all that, but I wouldn't mind it. I really wouldn't.
And Jersey, since the listeners don't have access to our group chat, how about you give us your take on it?
Of course. Listen, this is my thing, right? Titles are awesome, right? And I think if anyone deserves more titles, it's the NXT brand. There's no doubt about it. Those girls down there are doing something that we haven't seen in a long time. And the bar has not been dropped from the earlier class days of the Sashas and the Baileys, and it just continued to rise, which is great. My only issue is this, right? The women's roster, whether it's main roster or NXT, it's always smaller than the men's, right? When you have tag teams, you're eliminating 4 to 6 to 8 people from, I guess, a storyline, right? Because your roster is so small, it almost diminishes sometimes what you can be doing with your singles championship. That's what scares me. I said in the group chat, I trust Triple H. I trust his booking. But if you see what's going on in the main roster, you've lost Shayna, who was supposed to be the real deal when she hit the main roster, booked incorrectly. Mm-hmm. Nia Jax is an absolute joke. The Riot Squad is used as enhancement talent. Mandy and Dana could, you know, Mandy could be a legit single star, but is not being booked as such. But you're losing a lot of women because you're putting them in a storyline to be a quote unquote credible tag team. My fear is that we're going to lose the possibility of building more individual stars by forcing some tag teams that may not be organically natural. That's my only fear.
Yeah, it's a fair take. I think, and again, like we could harp on it every week that we trust Triple H, and I don't see him doing the wrong thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, the way I look at it is, they have so many talents down there, so much talent down there, that we may not be able to see them at all on TV if instead of having a one-on-one match, we can now have four of these girls on TV, or if it's
The good argument on the opposite side. So. And for NXT, it makes sense, right? Aaliyah needs something to do. Jessie Kamea needs something to do. Zoe Stark needs something to do. Like, you're absolutely right. In NXT, it would, but that's why I wanted the belts just to be down there now.
Follow up was going to be what? Just keep the belts down there and why have them on the main roster to begin with?
Yeah, well,
for now at least, exactly. So that's a good argument on the other side.
Like you said before, traveling champion, you can freshen up Raw or SmackDown by having whoever's holding them in NXT go up there and fucking fight them.
Because here's a little booking for me and see what you guys think about this one.
Sure,
because it's still on the same topic. You know, Adam Pearce had to stick his nose in NXT's business. I don't like that. I don't want to see no main roster.
I don't like that either. But
on NXT, I want to see Raquel and Dakota show up on Raw, say, listen, we didn't get a fair shake. You brought this guy down in our territory. We're going to come up here on your turf. We want you at Mania. Put the belts on them at Mania. That's how you get a moment.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Well, let's see what happens post-Fastlane because Sasha and Bianca are going after them.
Again, what are we doing? What are we doing?
What happened? What
makes
about,
no sense.
What about Lana and Naomi? Like, they're actually kind of coercive right now.
Naomi will be in her business before we know. She'll be taking care of how she needs to be.
Good.
we'll see. End of the day, guys, right? NXT is the showcase brand, right? So if they got their own titles to showcase as much talent as possible, then you can't be against it either. It could go either way.
Never against it, but I just think the idea of just putting the women's titles down there for a little while, let them just hang out there, let them showcase talent, and then when you think it's you think you have something up on the main roster to do, do it.
I agree, well, especially with all the real talents down here, NXT anyway.
But here's the point: what Joey just said, right? Going into Fastlane, we have the challengers, the one-on-one championship match at WrestleMania, formed as a team.
Again,
Sasha will be turning heel. For that? No, but that's fine. Sense. But you don't need a title match for her to turn heel.
Oh, I agree.
But that's what I'm saying. That's how limited and depleted the women's roster is on the main roster. Get the belts off from them. Put them down in NXT. That's why it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I thought Raquel and Dakota was going to be a clean win, to be honest. I thought they were going to pull it off.
I thought so too. Absolutely.
I would have bet on them if I could.
Well, I'll bet on them in Mania. That's a shoe win.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Nice work, Jerris.
Very, very nice work. So another thing, it's not really a Wednesday night thing, but it involves a promoter of a Wednesday night show. Tony Khan shows up on Impact, right? You know how he does his like little Fugazi commercials every week, his ads commercials?
Khan, C-O-N, right? Khan, C-O-N?
Yo.
No.
I like it, though.
I like that.
I like it. Nicely
done.
He
basically has an on-screen persona for Impact. Like this comes off as like a cocky promoter, like talking down to the other programs and like the other
I want to be Bischoff. You're right.
Sure. So this week he said he basically in his promo he basically said, Impact, you're one of us. New Japan, you're one of us, and we're all going against the same company, and you know who that is. So like basically acknowledging the fight against WWE, one would think. First of all, ballsy, right? But is anyone really watching Twitch.tv and watching Impact on the WWE side? You probably think someone would be just to keep tabs, but could this bring? We asked this question a few times. First, when AEW started, and then now again, I guess, could this like piss Vince off enough where he comes out and like don't wake the sleeping giant type thing? Is that a reality, or is he so long gone that we can't even get like the old school Vince back to like bring like start like causing like chaos again? Noodles, I'll say that with you.
I think the days of bringing the old Vince back are just, I don't think it's not probable anymore because of all the different avenues he's went to capitalize on finances.
Sure.
With the Peacock and going the PG route and all that. So he backed himself into a corner with that stuff. And that's the unfortunate part of that. I still think WWE reigns supreme, and I think it will for a long time. They would have to really do something drastic to overtake it. But they've never been more vulnerable than ever than right now.
Yeah. So you kind of almost hope as like a wrestling fan, because I don't want, at the end of the day, I don't want anyone buying on anybody, but I also don't want to see the company that I've been a fan of my whole life, like go down in ashes. So I want to see Vince.
Listen, when you light your own match, you light your own fuse, you know, you're for so long, they got away with the fact of being the only show in town. And now that, they got some competition, it's time to step the hell up, or you know, you get eaten. This is how it goes.
Yeah. So I hope it brings Vince out and makes him realize that he ain't the only one. But it's also, is it really a threat? I mean, not so much.
I don't think so. But you know, listen, Vince always has the wild card under his sleeve, and it's in the form of three little letters: HHH. If he ever really needed to turn the corner,
let's hope so, and let's hope he realizes that too. And then even before he dies,
just something to consider. I mean, if you look at some of the big names and big talents, where did they come from? Where did Drew McIntyre make his name? Where did AJ Styles make his name?
Yeah.
Where did Samoa Joe make his name? Where did MSK make their name? I can keep going and going and going. You cut out that pool of ability to sign people from these companies, you're cutting at the source of where they're kind of building some of their people, right? So you're going to have to legitimately, and that's probably why their talent pool is 18, the class is 18 for NXT, because you have now potentially lost the ability to grab talent from these other companies to put onto your show as they're all going to team up. that's going to create a problem eventually.
You're not taking the tires soon. You're right.
Samoa Joe hasn't been able to get into the ring soon. You know, all these people coming from these different areas, you'll still get probably little talent here and there, but the well's going to dry up once they all keep teaming up. And that's something you need to consider. No matter how big you are, complacency is not a good thing.
You're not going to be stockpiling talent based on the other company not being able to pay their bills. You know what I mean?
What has always been there? These promoters guys, like in WWE, has always been like, go make your name here. Go figure out your craft here.
And then you get paid later.
You watch the Keith Lee special, the 24 Keith Lee. Keith Lee tried out three times.
Nope.
No. He made it over there.
It's absolutely ridiculous, by the way.
Right, three times. Now they want him in here. That's the point. So you got to really be careful. It may not be the toe-to-toe at this moment today, but when a lot of these wrestlers today go away, you're going to need to fill somewhere.
Let's be honest, WWE hasn't done a great job of developing their own homegrown stars consistently for a while.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, you know, I know what you're saying, B, and I hear that, but it may not be, they can't go toe-to-toe in the fight right now in today's war, but they can lose the battle and they can win the war later if this kind of keeps up.
Yeah.
A million subscribers on the network isn't nothing to go, you know, isn't anything like breaking banks over here. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's a nice number. You're making $9 million a month or whatever the case is, or $10 million a month. But you look at all these subscription services that are out there and how much money they're really making. That's why the network had to sell, because they weren't going to make long-term money there.
Yeah.
It was innovative in the moment, but then when it really caught up to them, they won the battle to begin with, but they lost the war in the streaming services, if you think about it.
And look no further than the reviews, right? I mean, everyone raves about everything AEW and all these other companies do that, you know, Vince would get bashed for.
They're taking
chances. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, just because WWE won't take a chance anymore.
No, that's been out the window for a while.
The reputation, you know, people take Vince, they look at him as an actual human being and not like a promoter. Like they worry about his personal life and like how he chooses to run business as opposed to like what he puts on TV. So like, he's already shooting himself in the foot by doing stupid things like taking away social media, Twitch accounts and stuff like that. It's a new day, a new age where people actually give a fuck about how you run a business and not only what you put out on TV anymore. So you have to realize that too. Your business decisions are making people determine whether they watch your product or not. And that's, I mean, granted, you may not agree with it, but that's the fucking fact. So I'm not going to stop watching WWE because he takes away Twitch accounts, but people will. Yeah. And whether it's stupid or not, which I think it is, but it still happens. So you've got to realize that you're under, as a business owner, even though you make billions of dollars, you're under a microscope by fans that you're supposed to bring in, but you're deterring people away because you're taking away, potentially taking away leg slaps on TV for super kicks and doing shit like that. It's all getting reported. People find out this shit now.
Yeah.
People find out your list of words that you can't say on TV. And it's really fucking stupid.
It's insane leaks going on over there.
And when, and that's got to be taken care of as well. But when you go look at AEW, where it's land of the free, and that's why people go over there, like a Rusev and a Sean Spears, they may get treated the same over there, but they're not being held back from doing shit in their own personal life. Mm-hmm. Fucking dude, I was listening to a podcast today. I don't want to go on a rant here, but Zack Ryder would get texts like from the company. It's like, you can't say this. If you post something on social media, why didn't you tag this person? Why didn't you do this? Like, they have no control. And at one point they were asking for their their passwords and shit to their social media accounts. Like, it's crazy. Granted, I know it's a huge company, a billion-dollar company, but like, at some point you're gonna get looked at and not respected by fans because of how you're treating their employees. And it's happening right now. So it has to be, something has to change in that aspect as well. For him to get everyone back on good graces, or else when he makes dumb decisions, like if he made the same decision as Tony Khan, Khan's gonna get a passerby because he's cool and he's fucking young and people respect him, fans respect him. But when you look at Vince, he looks like an old dumbass old man, and that's it at the end of the day. So he's got to change in that aspect, or just let Triple H fucking run the show. And
exactly,
then,
I don't think we talk enough about the impact it has on the wrestlers, right? I mean, you piss off enough wrestlers, they know there's other shows around. There's other opportunities out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you keep poking the bear and taking away their opportunities, their revenue streams and impacting their life. You don't own these guys forever. You have a contract. It could be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but eventually it ends.
Mm-hmm. And now
there's competition that can go elsewhere and do their own thing and make other money and all that other stuff. Might not be able to pay as much as Vince would, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to be able to.
We don't know what kind of contracts they're getting.
That idea has to be in his mind at some point where you can lose these guys based on these, you know, restrictions, and, you know, you can't treat people like garbage all the time and fuck with their money and fuck with their lives based on technicalities or stupid trigger words that you have. It's insane.
And I'll let Jersey take over now. But we, like you said, they can go elsewhere, like the Big Show did, and he has a voice over there to say, "Hey, boys, it's fucking legit over here. Get over here." It's the Big Show talking to these guys now. Yeah. It's not just fucking like Jericho or a John Moxley. It's a fucking veteran who's been in this company for so long, and now he can give calls to guys. And we don't know what's going to happen Sunday. Jersey will get into it, but we don't know. And Jersey, before I talk too much, let's get involved. Let's get going on Wednesday.
All right, listen, this is what it's about, right? We're talking wrestling, we're talking what's going on, and we're sharing our opinions. You know, Wednesday is my favorite night of the week because I feel like that's when we get the best wrestling, right? So that's why I love talking about it. But obviously sometimes there's topics we got to just kind of get to, and these are hot topics. We got to talk about it. You know, we got to share our opinions and our thoughts. But let's get into Wednesday a little bit. I mean, we'll start with the NXT. You know, Roddy. Roddy's never been someone so strong on the mic, but we saw Roddy kind of come to the ring and cut a promo on Cole. You know, we can arguably say that Roddy was one of those guys that before the Undisputed Era, there's a chance for him that he wasn't going to make it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't his wrestling. It wasn't, because that guy is the Messiah, the backbreaker. I know. That's why I said it. He's really good at what he does in the ring. There's no doubt about it. But he doesn't have the mic skills. But Undisputed Era taking him in almost kind of, I think, saved his NXT career. Not his, I mean, he'd have been fine wrestling somewhere. He'd have gotten paycheck, don't get me wrong. But cuts a promo on Cole, Finn Balor comes out. And he blames Finn Balor for the Undisputed Era kind of plummeting. Which is crazy. Finn and Roddy got a little physical and actually led to a main event match that night. So we're going to potentially see Roddy for the first time outside of the Undisputed Era to see what's kind of going on. So we might as well just kind of get into the match just because we're talking about it. Roddy and Finn, I thought was a good match. They had really good chemistry. It was extremely physical. The match wasn't long per se, but I thought it was good enough to kind of, You're booking Finn strong against a lot of opponents. You keep stacking wins. And I know Nick's a big wins guy. You got to argue. You can't argue. No one's hotter than Finn Balor in NXT. This guy just wins matches and matches. But I wanted to kind of ask, I guess, Nick, I'll stay with you because we're kind of here. Roddy's first, you know, singles match post Undisputed Era, you know, first cutting his promo, trying to go back out on his own. Are you concerned about Roddy that he's going to kind of fall back to where it was before the Undisputed Era? Or do you think you have a little faith that he kind of let that go off on him?
Yeah, I think there's time there, right? I mean, because, you know, the way they handled the breakup, the Undisputed Era, you know, they're all kind of bitter and mad at each other. You know, I think Roddy can hang around in a feud with Finn. He's got opportunity there with Cole, depending on what happens with Cole, whether he's champion or not. You know, Roddy's going to get his payday there. And then, you know, KOR still in the mix when he, you know, he kind of gets back. I think he's a little banged up at the moment. So, I'm not too worried about it yet. But if Roddy does start stacking losses and, you know, he kind of goes into no man's land, he could be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. And funny you bring up Kyle. I think Kyle's going to show up next week and he's going to cost Adam a match. And that's how they're going to lead to that kind of one-on-one feud, which would be really cool. And I love to see that at NXT, you know, WrestleMania weekend or, you know, WrestleMania week. So that's what I think is going to happen. I don't want to get into too many predictions for it, but I think that next week we're going to get a great match. KO's going to come in, Kyle O'Reilly, and he's going to cost him some of the match, whether some distraction or not. And then that'll lead to him and Cole kind of going off on their feud, which will be really cool. So I'm excited for that. But
at some point, I think you get a KOR, Roddy, and Adam Cole triple threat for the NXT title somewhere down the line.
Listen, with Kyle being the champion, I mean, that would be very enjoyable. I would not say no.
Bobby's always the ladder on this discussion. Yeah. He's never really around in injuries, and he's always like
this. He's had a tough go of it, man. His injury history has been tough.
Yeah, it really has been. But I, you know what, I think that Roddy's in a better place. Like, I agree with Nick, to succeed now that he's had the chance to kind of work with the UE for many years. I was concerned for a while when he was on his singles run, just because he was one faceted character. Now I think I still don't think he's very strong on the mic, but I think that management has faith in him to be able to kind of, you know, support him and push him forward and maybe put him in more wrestling feuds with less talking. Listen, I know we spoke about it a little bit before, but Dakota and and Raquel took on Shayna and Nia. And Tommy, you know how I feel about Nia Jax. I say it every week. I say it in the group chat. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face until she leaves the company in future endeavored. I don't like Nia Jax. Yeah. She fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And I actually enjoyed the match down in NXT. To be honest, I thought that Dakota and Raquel were the best contenders during this quote-unquote current run of Nia and Shayna as champions. If you look at all their matches, all their tag matches, pay-per-views, TV shows, this was the match that stuck out the most to me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a legitimate chance for them to win. I thought it was great that they kind of teased Nia and Raquel to not kind of touch each other until later in the match when it kind of got hot, when you need to kind of get that moment, that pushover moment. Now, stupid Adam Pearce, idiot, gets involved in our show, the NXT show, and sends down a referee, one of his guys, to count the 1, 2, 3. Tom, going into that match, did you think there's a true chance for Dakota and Raquel to win? And I know we hit on it before about my prediction about potentially WrestleMania. How do you feel about this? Does this hurt Dakota and Raquel? And what do you think is going to come next?
No, I mean, absolutely. I thought they really were going to win on Wednesday. And I mean, I do like your prediction. I would love to see that at Mania and see them win and get like a Mania moment, because I think that would be freaking awesome to see that. But going back to what you said about Nia Jax, I thought she almost hurt Dakota on one of the moves, like one of the swings. I'm like, did she just hurt? Because, you know, she's had a long history of doing that to, you know, the wrestlers. And I was like, is this just another name to her list? But a good thing, you know, she didn't. But it was just like, she's never going to learn. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But no, I really thought they were going to win. But yeah, like you said, that freaking stupid idiot Adam Pearce came down.
Hate him.
Screwed everything up.
Hate him.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, like you said, hopefully they do get that match at Mania or whatever. But they definitely deserve, because they've been the hottest, like I would say, women's tag team down in NXT for the longest time. So hopefully it pays off for them. They get a run, you know, they get something. They get the belts.
I hope so too, man. I know that I'm obviously just like armchair booking, or whatever you say, Monday morning quarterbacking it, but I think it would be really cool to see the two of them show up on Raw unexpectedly, but only we know because we're smart fans over here. Well, you know, I'm sure
they've been together for a while too. So I mean, like they've earned their stripes.
They feel like a legitimate team to me, right? They can be individuals, but they also can work as a team. That's how like tag teams should be perceived, right? They can work as individuals. They can also kind of work as a team. They don't need to just be the team the whole time. That's how it makes me feel like that makes me feel important. But
I want Raquel to slam Nia Jax so bad with a fucking power slam or something.
Oh, I'd be sick.
Well, save that amazing for Mania. That'll be a pop moment for Mania.
Nia trying to kill Dakota, who's very, very little, is not fair and not cool.
That would be bigger than Hogan Andre.
Yeah. Bold, Joe. Bold.
it would be the slam heard around the world. I'll tell you that for sure. Joey, let me talk to you. All right? Let me talk to you. LA Knight. All right. First of all, when he cuts a promo, I listen.
Everyone
when he speaks, everyone should listen. This guy is electric on the mic. I mean, there's people who can cut promos, and then there's LA Knight. This guy, where his wrestling may have not been where it is today, there was never a doubt that this guy could talk on the mic. He's got the look. He's got everything. He is the total package. I could not be happier that we could see LA Knight on Wednesdays. But Joey, you know, he cut his promo. Bronson Reed cut him off.
Son of a bitch,
right? So we're all thinking, what's LA Knight's first, you know, maybe going to be his first, you know, feud? So, you know, he leaves the ring. Bronson Reed's got a match with Kiss My Grits. First of all, Cameron Grimes to the moon.
The best thing in wrestling right now.
I am having a blast with Cameron Grimes. I love everything he's doing. You know, the whole, well, you know, damn it, Ted DiBiase and everything he's doing. It's great, dude. It is great. What a character build. It's really good. The match wasn't anything special. I'm happy Grimes got the win, you know, as a heel, but it was LA Knight who left an impression. So Joey, it's LA Knight and Bronson Reed seems to be, it's going to be the first feud for him. Do you like that? Does that seem to make sense for both guys?
Yeah, why not? I think I don't want to see a new guy come in and just put him against someone that's a guaranteed W. I think it'll be a good feud for both. I think Reed needs some sort of legitimate blood feud. He's just been squashing guys left and right. I'd love to see how he works on the mic. We don't really get much. We get like quick promos here and there, but to go against a guy like LA Knight, would be interesting. So I'm excited for both, to see LA Knight in the ring and then Bronson Reed on the mic kind of go the other way from what we're normally used to seeing from them, and see how it turns out. Excited.
No, I'm with you. I'd be hard pressed to not bring up that, the way, and them seeing a psychiatrist, like you guys, I'm sure it was just such an enjoyable moment. Austin Theory, I didn't know he had this other side of him. I thought he was just like a one faceted, can't talk on the mic, no personality, but looks good in the ring and can wrestle. But you know, with him doing his thing, that Dexter Lumis is a great guy. We hung out, we watched TV, we had cereal. Indy Hartwell is in love with Mr. Dexter Lumis, and she's like, she's dropping these little like. Yeah, you know, he is a freak. I like it. You know, it's really good. And then Johnny's like losing his shit trying to have everyone turn on Dexter because he knows that Dexter is looming. No pun intended, Lumis looming. So, you know, if you watch through Wednesday, they have the psychiatrist segment, a lot of funny moments. Johnny's texting Candace what to say. Johnny paid off the psychiatrist to kind of turn Austin and them against him, but Indy still got a little hard on for Lumis, which I think is hysterical. I wanted to kind of bring it up. Just you guys can all kind of pitch in on this one. I loved it. I think it's really funny. I love what the Way is doing. They can wrestle. There's comedic. There's everything. That they're the total package. And you would never think that this foursome would be something, but they are.
It proves how well-rounded NXT is. Mm-hmm. When you can get stuff like this with top-notch workers. We just mentioned Cameron Grimes, and then you talk about like Finn versus Roddy. Like just the fact you can get every aspect of pro wrestling involved in one show, that's all you can ask for as a fan, at least on my end.
No, and I'm with you. And I think comparing it to the main roster, Joe, you said it really good right there, right? NXT is a show. The main roster is just moments. And I think that's what could inevitably be the demise of the main roster until they kind of get it, is you need to just invest more than just the moments. You got to invest in the whole show, top to bottom.
Well, that's what NXT, yeah. Sorry, Jerry, is so good, please. Because they're in tune with their characters and their skill sets, right? Triple H put these four people together for a reason, right? He knows, he's got a pulse of what's going on and what can highlight their skill sets and attributes that you don't get at the upper level. If you're on the upper level, you only get over if the crowd wants you to get over. And that's how Vince gauges everything, based on crowd reaction. Unfortunately, Triple H can make stars. The crowd makes stars for Vince. And that's the difference. A big one.
Very, very good point.
Tommy, anything to add to it, bud?
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole segment was great. You know, Johnny like flipping out, and then it turned out he was behind it the whole time, which was fucking perfect. And the psychiatrist was like, oh, what a bunch of idiots. Just great. So good segment on NXT as always. You know, expect nothing less from them.
Nah, it's a lot of fun, man. It is a lot of fun. I love Wednesdays. But speaking of Wednesdays, let's shift over to AEW. Boys, when you put a celebrity in a match, it sometimes could be a little concerning, right? You put a celebrity in a match. But Shaq is not like a normal celebrity. He's an athlete, right? Four-time NBA champion. And he looks the part. Like, he has, like, that presence. When he walks into a room, you look. It's like when Joey walks into a room. It's like, oh, damn, Joey's here. But, you know, I was a little bit concerned with this match leading up to it. Shaq, non-wrestler, athlete. Jade, very green, good look. Cody, true professional. Red Velvet, she's, I think, considered the number two contender now. I know I know Joey loves talking about rankings in AEW.
Big ratings guy. Big rankings guy.
She is the number two ranked women's wrestler in AEW right now.
So she'll get.
I think I've seen her wrestle twice on Dynamite in the last like 3 months. But I guess, hey, you never know, right? What moments Shaq had in the ring, like the chops, the knees to the stomach, the power bomb, taking a table bump, his just mannerisms when he's outside the ring. He gave everything you would hope to get in a match. I mean, Jade, being very green, she capitalized on her skills, being the strong power girl, you know, being that heel persona. Red Velvet and her had good chemistry. And Cody is just, you got to tip your hat to him. I know that sometimes we dog on him just because he hates Triple H, but he's almost a Triple H of AEW. So he hates what he kind of, where he didn't want to become, but he kind of is that guy, right? The most pyro, the biggest moments, he's the show, he's the main guy. He didn't want that to be, that was Triple H, but that's kind of what he is. But putting that aside, Nick, I mean, for me, I got everything I wanted out of that match. I thought it was solid. It delivered. in my estimation. I know that in a perfect world, Brandy would have been in the match with Cody. Obviously, she's pregnant. You know, God bless. Good luck. Stay healthy. But what do you think about that? How do you feel about it? I know you're a Shaq daddy guy.
I love Shaq. I love Shaq. I was fine with it. At the end of the day, you know, they got their high spots off. Cody kind of held it together with Shaq. Shaq did some pretty cool stuff. But it was more, you know, again, it was more important for the girls to get their rub. And that's what that match did, really, with Jade and Red Velvet. You know what I mean? You're pushing Red Velvet, trying to build a female brand. There's only so much you can do with Shaq and Cody at this stage of the game. So Shaq's almost 50 years old, too. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's 48. In good shape for his size.
But, 48. He looks good,
also,
though, man.
Yeah, but he's also phenomenal. 7 foot, you know, 350 pounds, you know, against Cody, who's, you know, obviously half his size. So, again, it was entertaining. Shaq did his part. And I'm sure Shaq will be involved the rest of the way, too. So, but again, more importantly, I thought it did its job for the girls.
I agree with you, man. Listen, Shaq's on the TNT brand, inside the NBA, man. You know, like you said, it won't be the last time he's in AW. What a great get for them, right?
Yeah, for sure. Spreading the love with the network, you know, keeping it in the family.
That's just, that's how it is, man. Joey, the MJF Jericho press conference. Huh? You know what
big,
I mean?
Big.
Did you think Bischoff was going to show up?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Another cool drop.
Yeah.
You know, obviously this is to kind of push the storyline of Young Bucks and MJF and Jericho and Papa Buck's beatdown. And that's what was brought up, Papa Buck. And the Young Bucks came out. And what's really cool about MJF and Jericho is, like, when they speak, it makes it feel personal.
Sure.
That's how good these two are. And they really are pushing the buttons of the Young Bucks. Young Bucks are right in the ring. They're okay on the mic. I don't think they're superior on the mic, not compared to Jericho and MJF. But I think when you pair the two of them together, it kind of brings out the best in the Young Bucks. Did you think this press conference delivered in getting us to where we need to be for this Sunday for Revolution?
It did for me. I was kind of, I mean, last week they bloodied up Papa Buck, so that enhanced it a little bit. And then it was a short build for something that feels a little more personal than it was a week ago. So I think they did the right job. The press conference was cool. I love when they do shit like that. And then it kind of brings out the comedic side to Jericho and MJF as well. So when they could be serious, it could also be funny as shit. I did post on social media that we saw our first big jump from NXT to AEW with Brandon Walker from Barstool Sports, who was just at NXT Vengeance on the pre-show. Shows up on AEW. That son of a bitch. Triple
H. Right.
You're banned, bro. You know? You're banned for life. No, I'm just kidding. I thought that was pretty cool. And they had another guy from Barstool, Robbie Fox, over there, which is pretty cool. And also Conrad Thompson, the podcast god or whatever the fuck they call him.
When are you going to get your invitation so you can ask your question during the press conference?
I don't know. I'm waiting. I mean, I submitted my...
You're credible as crap at this point. I mean, you saved our company if it wasn't for you.
I almost assigned this with a pedophile at first, so...
We'll get to your press pass, Joey. Don't worry.
I'm looking to get in on that. So I thought it was entertaining as hell. And then they made a statement with the Young Bucks coming out. The table spots are cool. They really went pretty crazy for a little fucking segment there to enhance that. That's something you do at a fucking pay per view. The double table jump.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Fucking awesome. I love that stuff. But yeah, I'm excited. It made me more excited for the match now for Sunday. So where I wasn't as excited.
Quite honest, so am I, man. And that's why I want to get your thoughts. I think it pushed over the top for me. I want to see this match now. Like, I need to see it. And I think that was the point. I think it absolutely delivered.
I'm sorry. AEW.
Yeah, no, please.
Before, I don't want to get lost in here, but AEW put the best wrestling show on this week. No doubt. And I rarely say that. I always say NXT usually comes out on top, maybe SmackDown here and there, but AEW put on the best overall show. I was thoroughly entertained throughout every aspect of the show, and I left happy after watching it. So no complaints, but I just, that part, this little things like that stuck out. I didn't get to talk about the Shaq thing, but the Shaq match is amazing. Like they back-to-back segments or however that was lined up, they just killed it all around throughout the whole show. And now Noodle's going to say I'm on the payroll for Tony Khan, but it's all right.
Well, listen, I don't care if you're on the payroll for Tony Khan. If you get a pass to ask a question on Live Dynamite, then good. Let's be shills.
I'll sell my soul to the devil. I've said it before.
Absolutely.
Not only one time have you said it. You said it on numerous occasions.
You know, Tommy's an old school wrestling kind of fan, right? He loves that old school wrestling. But I don't know if I don't know if he was asking for Tully Blanchard to get back in the ring after 30 plus years.
That's pretty interesting.
And also, I know Tommy likes gold. He brought out the old United States Championship with him. What I'm alluding to is FTR and Tully Blanchard took on Jurassic Express. Now, obviously, Tully and Marco Stunt was the one-on-one we wanted to see in that match, and we got it. We got it. But Tommy, you know, entertaining match throughout. They all had their moments. Tully Blanchard got the pin and the win. First time in 30 plus years. How do you think Tully looked in that match, and what do you think about him actually getting involved?
I mean, for a guy, what is he, like 60 years old? Over how old 60, he is?
67, and I know you love returns from guys at 67, Tommy.
I mean, it's just, I mean, this guy looks pretty fucking good. I mean, he looked better than me right now if I was in the ring. So, I mean, dude's in phenomenal shape and everything else. I mean, Brandy's going against, you know, Marco Stunt, the guy is, I think, 4 foot and whatever the fuck he is. But, I mean, no, it's a pretty cool moment. I got to give him that. That was very cool. And the whole, I mean, the FTR and the Dress Express, the whole feud's been freaking cool, you know, with them cutting off, you know, the hell's his name? Luchasaurus's horns a few weeks back and all that kind of stuff. It's been great. It really has been. But no, it was pretty cool seeing Tully back for a little bit there. That was very cool. But the thing at the end was pretty cool when you saw, you know, Mr. Sean Spears.
Lead to it. Lead to it.
And then you got Arn on the stage giving the Four Horsemen. That was fucking cool. So we've been alluding, or Joey's been alluding to it for months now and everything.
For,
and I think
for years.
For years.
Joey got wood on Wednesday.
Yeah, dude. So finally coming. So very cool. Very cool moment.
I had to call a doctor afterwards. It was it lasted longer than 8 hours.
Four. Yeah.
4 hours. Whatever. So, no.
It's a cool segment, and you know what? It's a pairing that you wouldn't think would deliver what it's delivering, but it is, right? Yeah. You think Jurassic Express is very gimmicky, but when you saw Jack Perry and Dax Harwood have that one-on-one match a couple weeks ago, my jaw was on the floor watching that match, and just to kind of continue to see this feud go forward, like, it's a fantastic pairing that you wouldn't think would be. But it's them taking a shot on wrestling, and I think it's clearly paying off. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loved it. I can't wait to continue to see this kind of keep going forward, to be quite honest. Because now that you introduced Sean Spears into the match, into the mix, you know, where's Jurassic Express going to kind of counter? And I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. We won't spend too much time on this one because I definitely want to get to the main event because my boy's in there. Nyla Rose took on Rio Mizunami. I hope I said that right. In the match from the Japan side and the U.S. side to go face Hikaru Shida at Revolution on Sunday. Now, hard-hitting, stiff match. Two very different styles. Rio danced around a little bit a la Asuka. She made kind of, I think, a serious match feel a little bit more gimmicky. But the match itself still had really good moments. Rio got the win. You know, this was, I think, the third, if I'm right, third or fourth match of this whole tournament that we actually saw on Dynamite. And, you know, we saw Nyla Rose twice, which was kind of good because, you know, you want to see some talent that you want to kind of get behind. I know I kind of harped on this last week, I think, but Joey, help me out here with this one. Rio versus Hikaru is going to be a good match, right? Sure. I'm sure. But when you're still trying to develop your women's division, and you've only shown about, I think, roughly three or four of the total match of this whole tournament on TV, do you think it hurts a little bit? How do you feel about how they handle this whole tournament? And are you happy with Rio being the one to get the shot at Hikaru?
No, I'm not happy. And I guess I kind of take back what I said about everything about AEW is this part actually pissed me off. I thought leading into it, and I think I said it last week, Britt Baker should have won the tournament. I think it makes the most sense. I don't know why she would have won, but maybe there's reasons that we don't know about, or down the what they have future planned for. But when you go into a match with Nyla Rose and this other woman, I don't want to butcher her name. Ryu, what's the first name? Ryu.
Ryu Mizunami.
Okay, so I'll just call her Ryu. You almost say like, all right, Nyla has to win, because then why would you have someone that's not signed? I don't believe signed by the company win a tournament for their title. A title shot. Where's the sense in that?
Not believable. I'm with you.
And all right, so if she beats Shida, it's still a letdown because then you have someone that's not in the company holding your title. It's kind of like the whole Serena Deeb NWA champion thing. Like, she doesn't work for she's signed with AEW. Like, why is she the NWA women's champion? Like, it's just shit like that. Like, one thing about I'll say about the company is, like, when you venture out with other companies, like, it's not, there's no long-term caring for me when you have someone that doesn't actually work for your company hold the title. So I don't know. I wasn't a fan of how they ran the tournament. The lack of showing the matches on television really.
That's always a head scratcher. I agree. Completely. That's fucking bad. That's really bad.
Yeah. A lot of YouTube matches, which I mean, again, we say it all the time. They're catering to a niche fan base, and those fans will find a way to watch these matches on YouTube. They watch AEW Dark gets views, and it's 15 matches in 2 hours that have no storyline or essentially no storyline building at all. It just, like, legitimate matches, that's it. So people will find a way to watch it if they want to, but it's just not, I don't know, I didn't like the way they did the whole tournament, and the outcome was very, very lackluster.
They go after their demographics. They find their WWE demographic deficiencies, and they try to exploit them, it seems. So
yeah
that was tough. You know, there's, you know, Sting got physical with you know, Team Taz, which is good. So I'm happy to see more physical. Darby Allin came down. So I think we got it with them. So yeah. We'll talk about that on the prediction part of the show. But main event time, John Silver. Man, that guy just makes me smile. Makes my heart warm. And Adam Page took on Matt Hardy and Mark Quinn. And high energy match. I thought that was cool. Good storytelling. Page and Silver got the win. And then after the match, there was just complete mayhem leading into the Battle Royal, the Casino Battle Royal tag team. All those members just kind of came in and rushed the ring. So since, you know, clearly, you know, Texas, Mississippi, masks off, AEW Florida, don't worry about it. No social distancing for them. Yeah. Just kidding. We're not political here. But let's get into Revolution, all right? Before we actually go into our predictions, there is one part I did want to kind of bring up to you guys, which is Paul White. And he teased a Hall of Fame type signing that's going to take place at Revolution. I know I didn't kind of prepare you guys for this one, but I'm going to just kind of go one by one. Give me your prediction, who you think that it's going to be and why. Tommy, who do you think is going to sign with AEW that is going to be Hall of Fame worthy?
I mean, from what I've seen, I mean, I don't know if it's true, obviously, but it could be Christian. I mean, who knows? Because you haven't seen him since Rumble. And everything. And so, I mean, I don't think it's going to be CM Punk, you know. It's not going to be Cena. I mean, who else could it be? I mean, could it be Lesnar? Who the hell knows? But I just have a feeling it's going to be Christian. That's my pick for now.
Okay. Even with Edge having his whole moment in WWE and then being best friend, you still think Christian would jump ships?
I think so. Maybe they say, hey, you know, come back for Rumble, have a moment with Edge in the ring, you know, you hug it out, blah, blah, blah. But after that, I don't think we have anything for you. And obviously they haven't. So maybe, you know, because he took this while to get back in the ring, you know, he trained back to get back in shape and everything. And I just think maybe he has like one more run, you know, for wherever down in AEW, and WWE didn't have anything for him. So I think it's him. That's what I think, at least.
Okay. Hey, listen, it's not the first time he jumped ships, right? He went to Impact years ago and he was Christian Cage over there and he had a little run. So, hey, you never know. Nick, I see you writing on your paper, so I know you're thinking. I see the smoke coming out of your ears, my friend. hit us with the smoke.
I don't really have any surprises, to be honest. I think I agree with Tommy. I've seen what the shape Christian's in these days. He's is no messing around there. He's strictly business. I think he's got another run in him, and you know WWE's gonna have nothing for him. So I think that makes the most sense to him, and I think it makes the most sense to AEW right now. But if they want to make the huge, huge splash, it won't be Christian.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Joey,
I have, what are you thinking? I have potential breaking news here.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh boy.
It might be my pick. Maybe it's my pick. Maybe I'm that good, but I guess we'll see.
So
Charlie Sheen.
But as you scroll down Twitter, you see other things too. So Christian is definitely a possibility. It's being reported that he is not currently under contract with WWE. The only relation he has with them, like ties, he had a contract with Fox. So that was for backstage, I believe. So he's not currently under contract with WWE, but the breaking news is just posted 40 minutes ago. This wrestler that we know that used to love drinking milk posted a video of putting his gear on in a video, and it said to be continued. So he looks fucking chiseled.
That's who my pick was going to be.
We'll see what happens. Tony Khan came out. I had sent you guys the thing yesterday, or maybe I didn't, I'm not sure. He was on Busted Open Radio and he said he gave a couple more hints. He already said it was a male, we knew that, but he said it was one of his favorite wrestlers of all time. And like, so when you think about that, is Christian one someone's favorite wrestler of all time? Kurt Angle, some. More than
didn't you say? Didn't Big Show Paul White say future Hall of Famer?
He said, but he has Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Fame caliber wrestler. So it's a blurry line.
Yeah.
Right, is that what he said? Hall of Fame caliber, or
I thought he said future Hall of Famer. No, I thought he said future. He didn't say future Hall of Famer.
He said something where it was like a blurry line. It's like he, and what Hall of Fame are you talking about? Like, I mean,
yeah,
we don't really know. But
true.
So I mean, my pick. I wish, I fucking hope it was like Cena or Lesnar, because I'm a fucking dumbass and I'd love that. But like, I think that's like groundbreaking. Obviously, it's not going to happen. When it comes down like to the middle of the road guys, like Kurt, Christian, RVD was brought up. It's not Punk, he already denied it. I mean, Kurt Angle would be
not Batista either.
Yeah, and Batista denied it too. Kurt Angle would be fun. I think if they, I mean, we see, like, we saw him move in WWE and it doesn't look like he can actually like walk straight.
Yeah.
And on his podcast, I listened to his podcast, he still needs neck surgery. So like, he's not like, he can't like do everything he once could. It's like, I mean, maybe just there for backstage stuff, but
so what?
It's not as impactful as like they're making it seem to be. If it's going to be Kurt or Christian, it's cool, but it won't be like holy shit. You know what I mean? If they want,
at least Christian could wrestle though. You know what I mean? Like where?
Well,
like,
he's kind of. I mean, not necessarily. I mean, he's been hurt for a while and hasn't been cleared to wrestle for a while. So he's been in good shape, but he hasn't been cleared to wrestle until most recently at Royal Rumble. But again,
Kurt's not in good shape at all, though. We know that. Right. I mean, he's
well. The thing is, what I was going to allude to when Joe was kind of hitting on his point was that there was a point where Kurt Angle was going to probably be lined up as a potential manager. I think it was right, Joey. Do you remember that storyline where they were? Was it down at NXT or he offered his services to be like a manager down at NXT to kind of still be involved in the business, but they kind of just didn't utilize him?
I want to say that was like a thing with him. Maybe he wanted to be with American Alpha. I want to say that was a thing.
So when I was thinking about it and my predictions were for guy, I would think Kurt Angle. For girl, I think Tessa Blanchard. You know, I know that it was confirmed to be a guy now, but when I was originally thinking about it, I'm like, okay, if it's going to be a guy, I'm thinking like a Kurt Angle type, because I think like Paul White and Sting, WWE had nothing more for them. And I think Kurt Angle still wants to be a part of the business.
He does.
So I think it makes a hell of a lot of sense. Whether it's going to be like from that Sting role where it's like going to be a very part-time physical wrestler, leave the shirt on, just have your moments, or it's going to be like more of like in a backstage role like Joey's alluding to, or like a management role. I think he makes the most sense. That's my prediction. And from a girl before it was, you know, decided to be a male, I thought Tessa Blanchard would make the perfect sense.
Yeah,
that would be groundbreaking.
That's a reach to say Hall of Famer though, compared with her.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that would be like a really cool. If I wish they didn't say Hall of Famer.
I know.
I think they kind of shoehorned themselves a little bit with saying the word. They could just say a huge signing, and it would just kind of be a little bit easier because it wouldn't be ridiculed as much, right? Because, like you just said, Kurt Angle might not move the needle for you as much as Brock Lesnar would, CM Punk would, Tessa Blanchard would. So why not just say a huge talent?
But
not at this stage of the game. But
it is the start of guys that we thought would never. I mean, granted, Kurt went to Impact, but that was because of his drug abuse. But it's guys we thought we'd never see like leave the realm of WWE with him and Big Show now. Like it's opening that window even more for other guys to go over there. So we'll see what happens.
Big time. Listen, let's get to predictions. We are going long, boys. We are going long. So no, in no particular order, I'm going to go matches. We'll just get for our predictions and we'll kind of do it. So we got the Young Bucks defending the tag team championships against the Inner Circle's Chris Jericho, MJF, with Wardlow.
Shout out to Wardlow.
Joey, since you're talking, who are you picking?
I'm going to go Young Bucks. I think we might see Samuel Guevara probably come back and maybe damper. They talk shit about him the other night. I think he might be an impact on this. And the Young Bucks, I still need to think roll with the titles. So I'm gonna go Young Bucks.
All right, Tommy.
Yeah, I'm basically the same thing Joey said. Yeah, Sammy comes back, does something, and the Young Bucks retain. So that's what I think is gonna happen too.
All right, Nick.
I'm going with what I want, what my heart desires, Jericho MJF.
All right. Hey, listen, you got to be different. I get it. And I'm with you. That's what my heart desires. But what I think what's going to happen is going to be some Inner Circle. And I like the alluding to Sammy Guevara getting involved to kind of cause them to kind of, you know, stick it to Jericho and MJF to kind of, you know, have a feud go and eventually have Jericho and Sammy Guevara go one-on-one. Next, we got Team Taz is Brian Cage and Ricky Starks versus Darby Allin and the Icon Sting in a street fight. Nick, we're going to go in reverse order. What are you thinking?
Sting and Darby. I don't think you can bring Sting back yet and lose the first go round here. I think it's a lock.
Okay. Lock it. Lock it. Your lock of the night.
Yeah, for sure.
Love it. Tommy.
Yeah, it's hopefully they don't do a WrestleMania 31, wherever it was when Sting lost his debut match in WWE. But yeah,
only because he wrestled Triple H, though, Tommy. You know that.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. But still, I mean, come on. First match, but whatever. So I'm going over that, but whatever.
I hear you, man. I'm with you, man. I'm a Stinger for life. You know that. Tommy. I mean, Joey.
Yeah, my lock of the night, too. Sting and Darby. Yeah.
Sting. And I'm going with you guys. I'm going with it. All right. We'll go in. We'll start for you, Tommy. Hikaru Shida, Ryo Mizunami. It's the AEW Women's Championship match.
I'm going to go Shida. I'm just going with Shida.
Shida. Easy. Yeah. Nick.
Shida.
Joey.
Shida.
I'm going with Shida. Clean sweep. Yep. All right. We got the big money match. Hangman Adam Page. Money Matt Hardy. Nick, I feel like this feels almost apropos. I have to start with you.
I want Hangman to win, but for some strange reason, I have a feeling Matt Hardy is going to win this one in some weird way. I'm going Matt Hardy, as painful as it is to utter those words out of my throat.
Now, I'm not trying to sway you. Hangman is 6-0 right now, so you think his first loss in the standings is going to come to Matt Hardy on a pay-per-view? Just want to make sure you're aware of that.
As Joey's alluded to every time he talks about AEW, 6-0 means nothing.
Okay. Okay, Tommy.
I'm gonna go Hangman. I think it's just better for him to win right now. I'm gonna go Hangman.
Oh, certainly better, but
yeah. Joey?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Hangman.
Cowboy?
Yeah, I'm a cowboy.
I'm going with the cowboy myself too. Yeah. Doing cowboy shit. All right, we got the face of the Revolution ladder match for a future TNT championship match. Cody Rhodes, Scorpio Sky, Penta El Zero, Miedo, Lance Archer, and Max Caster. A lot of future guys.
There's a mystery guy in there too, I believe.
And a mystery guy. You're right. Sorry, my cutoff went. It went on to the next. It says TBA. I have like my little thing. That's on my screen. So thank you, Joey. Keep me honest. Joey, since you're chatty, Cathy today. Who are you going with?
Here's my bold prediction.
Oh boy.
With reason. That's why it's bold.
Okay.
Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
You know what? Maybe not. Yeah, he's going to win, but not my bold prediction isn't going to happen yet. I'm just going to Cody Rhodes. We'll leave my bold prediction for down the road.
Okay. Tease it. Leave everyone on their seats.
And then the mystery guy, I think there's rumors that it's Ethan Page from Impact, but I don't know if that's true or not.
I like that. If so, I like that.
Me too.
Nick, what are you thinking?
Yeah, it's got to be Cody. Cody's involved. He's almost as big a lock as Triple H at this stage of the game.
Ooh, okay. Tommy?
Triple H. I'm going to go with Mr. Lance Archer. I don't know. I just got a feeling.
Okay.
I like that call, Tommy. Yeah. I like Lance Archer a lot.
No, love Lance Archer too. Yeah. The Murder Hawk.
Yeah. He's a beast.
I'm going to go Penta El Cero Miedo.
Nice. I like that pick. A lot of good options here.
Yeah, a lot of good options. Actually, this is going to be a fun match. This is going to be a really good one. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go Penta. I think that I'd like to see him have a cool future feud, you know, Death Triangle. Let's see what happens. This match. Miro and Kip Sabian with Penelope Ford versus Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor. Nick, since I know you're a big Best Friends fan, who you going with?
OC and Chuck.
As it should be.
Yeah. Miro doesn't deserve anything. Guy's terrible.
I like that, Joey. Joey, who are you going with?
Fuck, I don't care. Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor.
Tommy?
The fans, and hopefully this ends the goddamn feud. Right.
Double DQ.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go with, if I have to guess, I'll give freaking Cassidy and Taylor.
Yeah. Unfortunately, boys, I think because of what happened at the wedding, I think it's going to be Miro and Kip. Not that I want it to be, just what I think it's going to be. So,
what a shame where Orange Cassidy has fell since the Jericho feud. What a shame.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, there is a casino tag team battle royal for a future AEW championship match. Now, boys, there's a lot. I mean, I'll try to go quick with the names.
Do your work, son.
Bear Country, Dark Order, Inner Circle, Private Party,
Varsity Blondes, the Seidel Brothers, Kazarian Daniels, The Natural Nightmares. Oh my God. The Pretty Picture, Jurassic Express, FTR. So many. The Gun Club. Mm. I mean, Joey?
I like your transition in audio. Actually, it's not smooth. Your headset died. It was funny. Yes, it sounds great, though. It's good.
Yes, I'm working with construction. My dog keeps going in and out of my bedroom.
I'm going to say Dark Order. I think they need a little Runsky here. I want Johnny Hungy to get a little rub with some gold, maybe. Yeah. With the Young Bucks.
Yeah. I like that.
Dark Order.
I like that. Tommy?
If that's them. Dark. I don't know. Wait, if they representing the Dark Order, I would hope. If not, then.
There's two teams from the Dark Order in there. I'm looking right now. Crap.
Probably 10 and 5, I think, is the other team, if I read that correctly.
Oh, my God. Yep. Reynolds and Silver in the match.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll
confirmed.
Take that. Yep.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Same Silver and Reynolds. Absolutely.
Same. I love it.
Yeah,
love it.
Same here, too.
Yes. Wow.
Clean sweep. Johnny Hungy's in the match. He's mine. Yeah.
I was kind of hoping Sammy was going to have a tag team partner, and then those guys would go after Jericho and MJF for a tag title match is really where I was, what I'm hoping for with this one. But I don't know if Sammy's in the match.
Never know. Maybe eventually. Listen, there's a match in the buy-in, the pre-show. I've got to hit it. So we have Thunder Rosa and Riho versus Dr. Britt Baker and Rebel. Nick, I know that you are, this is your favorite dentist. So I want to start with you. It's the buy-in. It's the pre-show, but it's Dr. Britt Baker. So I know it's main event.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know where my full-fledged allegiance is, but I just don't see her and Reba winning. I just can't. Thunder Rosa and the newly popular Rio.
Beautiful. Love it. Joey?
It'd be a shame if Britt didn't win. She doesn't win anymore. So I want to go with Britt and her partner, Reba, Rebel, whatever the fuck her name is.
Reba. Tommy?
Reba.
Yeah, I'm going with the doctor as well. And Reba, whatever the hell name is.
Okay. I am going to go with Thunder Rosa and I'm going to go with Riho. I think they're going to be able to pin Rebel, make Britt Baker not look weak. Yep. And
classic riding jersey. Nice work.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. This match is an interesting one. I've never seen it before, but we'll see it the four of us will see it for the first time. Is Kenny Omega and John Moxley in an exploding barbed wire, first blood, first death, loss of the first child death match?
Jesus.
It's a long title. I'm sorry, boy. That's what Wikipedia said. I'm just kidding. I added a lot of the extra stuff on there.
Yeah.
I might as well start with this one. Kenny Omega. I like Moxley. I think he did great work, but it's Kenny's time. He is doing the best work he's done in AEW to this point, minus some of his one-off matches, but total character, Kenny Omega. So, Tommy?
Yeah, going with Kenny as well.
All right. Nick?
Cleaner.
Joey, you're your guy and take over the segment right after. Who's your
pick? Yeah, I'm taking Kenny.
Okay.
Yeah, God bless John Moxley. And before we end the episode, people, let's do our MVPs real quick. Roundtable. Nick and Noodles, who you got?
Oh, it's got to be the king. Bobby Lashley.
Baron Corbin? No, I'm just kidding. bad news.
Yeah, I'm going with the whole Hurt Business and everything with, you know, Bobby winning on Monday.
Okay. And J3?
Tully Blanchard, baby. You haven't seen him in 30 years. The man still got it. How could you not?
And I love that. I'm going back to back weeks with NXT UK. Kaylee Ray, most underrated women's wrestler in the business right now. 552 something day reign as NXT Women's Champion, a UK Women's Champion. God bless.
God bless. Right.
And hell of a match too. Go check it out on NXT UK this week. Everybody, thank you for joining us. This is episode 45 of the Wrestling Journal Podcast. And you know, as always, take care, be safe, watch pro wrestling.